Hallo.
Hans Meyer.
Absolut.
Should I start just with you or should
Oh, well, I think it's up to you. It's all right. Ruby.
Hello.
Oh,
Hello, Ruby.
good evening.
Hi,
I'm going to
Ruby.
mute my phone. Hello,
Happy
everyone.
Hanukkah. Happy
Happy
Hanukkah, Ruby.
Hanukkah to everyone. Same to everyone. I'm going to mute my phone.
Okay. We're starting with Parashat Noach, section 18, Pasuk 146. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, good Shabbat, Rechu, Ishkin Tebi, Chilu, Urchimu, Chilu, Chilu, Urchimu. Le'atka, L'shem Yudhe, Bavavhe, B'Yichuda, Shalim, B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. V'yehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu eleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kanenei eleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kanenehu. V'kal da'alama begin di'amar le'a nevi'a ki met ata b'hai alma v'lai. Tishya, v'ha'hu alma, v'gin d'man, d'la'olid, v'nin v'hai alma. Kad nafik mineya, v'tarkin leya, mikol ma d'amaran, v'la sharya l'mecheme'. Tehahu nehora, denaher umah tiskaya, dahawa leya zuhut avot, teihu zaka'a, tzadika v'achasida, kach kol shaken, mandelet leya zuhut avot, V'chate kamei mareya. And what was the reason for all this? Namely, why did Hezekiah fear this? Because the prophet told him, "For you shall die in this world, and not live in the world of truth." For upon death, he who has not begotten any children in this world is expelled from all that is mentioned above and cannot stay to gaze upon that shining light. If this was the case with Hezekiah, who was a pure, righteous man, so much more for those who do not have ancestral merit to support them and have even sinned before their master. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I suppose the prophet is Isaiah.
Yes, the prophet in the city of Yahu was Isaiah. He went into Hezekiahu because God told him that to go in and tell him that he was going to die. And Hezekiah, who had been very instrumental in bringing the people back to Torah, back to Hashem, after his father and other of his ancestors had brought in idol worship into the land of Israel, he had put a stop to it. He brought the people back, but in his, because as a king he has a level of prophecy, he saw that his children would die and his children would be evil, and so he did not have children. So Isaiah was sent in to tell him that it was too late to do teshuvah, but he didn't listen to that. He went ahead and did teshuvah, and his teshuvah was accepted. And Isaiah, before he left the palace, was told to turn around and go tell King Hezekiah that his teshuvah was accepted and that he would live 15 more years, in which he had two of the most negative children in the world that both became kings in Israel and both brought idol worship back. That's the story.
Mm-hmm. But also reminds me of last week when we studied in the advanced reincarnation class about how not having children, the person may not be reincarnated, but his good actions would go to another soul.
And that's exactly what this is saying.
Mm-hmm. I also remember one of your comments that you felt that you should have children in every lifetime. And then I remember these things because I have a friend who just, her desire for children over the years was, to me, excessive. And she taught school, she became a principal, and today she still has this same strong, strong feelings about children. She didn't have children, but she adopted two children. And so because of that, the things that we would read in the Zohar that kind of stick with me because of that. And I think I remember that in one instance, if someone might not have children because they had a male soul, another was that there was one famous rabbi who didn't have children and it was acceptable because he had it and had children in a previous lifetime. You know, so I guess we can't judge.
Well, the rules are not, you can never say that just because you read in the Ari a flat statement, or you read from a sage, even on the level of Rabbi Shimon, a flat statement.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling us spiritual law. But all spiritual laws are relative to the souls involved.
Right.
So as you mentioned your friend who didn't have children, but she taught children, she taught school or she taught children, those children that she teaches are considered her children.
Right.
Because the soul of the teacher is shared with the children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's assuming she's teaching Torah and not necessarily secular subjects, but it's still the same way. And you mentioned another person who's had adopted children. Well, adopted children are actually...
Your children in a previous lifetime, I bet.
No, they're actually her children in this lifetime, that they needed to come through the other person's womb. There was a tikkun between the two women or the two sets of parents, and so the children were brought into the world in that way. But as the orphan, you know, or as the adopted child, their adopted parents are really their parents. The birth mm-hmm. parents are, you know, cleansing a tikkun between the two groups of parents. So mm-hmm. there are many facets to reincarnation. There's very always different facets, different levels of any spiritual law. Nothing is in cement except
right.
the mistake that was made, or some of the sages write that it's a mistake, was to write down the halakha. Because once something is written down, it's in cement. It can be interpreted, but it's essentially there. And so the books of halakha, people don't understand that there are levels of halakha. One aspect of halakha is higher spiritually than another. So there are many ways, many deeper aspects, and that's why you need to connect to your intuition, so that when you're given these appearances of conflict, these appearances of I'm not sure which is right and what's the correct thing, that you have your intuition to give you direction as to what is the correct thing at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should I go on, or do you have other questions?
No, but if you see something else, that would be a point to talk about.
If I see something else?
Oh, yes, there is something else I see. So much more for those who do not have ancestral merit to support them. Okay, I've always
right.
kind of considered that as, okay, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the sages, you know, that we have their merit. But can it also be that maybe in our merit, our future families, that in our merit something would support them if they were in need? Can we look at it in the future as well as to the past?
Yes. The Zohar says when it came to Abraham being saved in the fire, one of the 10 trials that he was given according to the Midrash, he was saved in that fire through the merit of Jacob, who was not yet born. He was two generations away. And yet his merit saved Abraham in that fire. So the answer to your question is yes. The same thing with Ruth, because Ruth needed to come out of Moab, the nation of Moab, and until she did, the children of Israel were not allowed to be in combat with the children of
right.
Moab.
That's right. I remember that.
So,
that's a good example.
But ancestral merit, you know, I read in the Zohar, I don't remember where, but I read in the Zohar that the idea of ancestral merit is very, very much. If you have a tzaddik, or you have, and you're trying to compare, why you would compare tzaddikim, I don't know, but you were trying to compare the tzaddik, that a tzaddik of a tzaddik, in other words, if your father was a tzaddik, and you became a tzaddik, you have a higher ancestral merit than someone who is just becoming a tzaddik in this lifetime, but that their parents were not.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was related to Isaac, who was a righteous man, a tzaddik, who was a son of a tzaddik, who was Abraham. And
mm-hmm.
it was comparing Isaac to another person. I don't remember which one. I really don't remember the comparative story issues, but I do remember that it was, if you are comparing two different righteous people, one who is a Sadiq of a Sadiq is on a higher level than one that is just a Sadiq. And the question arises from that statement. Isn't it easier to follow the righteous path if you're trained to follow the righteous path by observing your righteous father? So wouldn't it be more difficult for the person who's becoming a tzaddik in this lifetime? Isn't it more difficult for them to throw off the training of the mistakes of their parents? And the answer is yes, it is more difficult. But what is the meaning of merit, of ancestral merit, is not what we think of it in this world. The way heaven evaluates merit is very different than the way we do. And I always bring up because one of the first words that I heard from my first few Kabbalah teachers was the word merit. And the Hebrew word for that was being translated as merit was schut. And I couldn't really understand what was being meant by schut until I realized that schut is not merit as we understand merit. But schut is a hierarchy. Built into the merit is a hierarchy, a structure, like the tree of life. One is higher than the other. The merits are higher than the other. They're comparative, but they're not comparative. They're essential essences. But within the essential essence, they are always related to a hierarchy, some relationship up or down from something else. And this is just an analog to the idea of relativity. Everything is always relative.
I'm glad I asked the question. Yes, I am good.
That's what I keep saying. If you don't ask questions, then it's really the light, the wisdom that is flowing through me. It's not my wisdom. It's what the question you're asking is what pulls it through me.
Right, I know. Well, I remember years ago, and it may have been, went through conversion 25 years ago, reading that when Abraham became a believer, and Hashem is the ultimate sovereign, that it rectified his ancestors. And so it made me wonder, with our coming out of, in the same way, defining Hashem as the ultimate sovereign, did that mean that it was also rectifying our past generations? I've never seen it anywhere else. I've never seen the statement anywhere else, and I don't know where I saw it. When you first start reading and start collecting books, you remember your sources, but after 25 years, you can't remember anymore. There are too many of them. But I've never seen it again.
Well, the answer is yes. Someone who has gone through conversion, their soul is rectified, and their previous lifetimes are rectified. but it doesn't rectify their parents until their parents make the conversion themselves.
Okay, and if the parents were passed away at the time?
Well, that's not important.
They would be they would be reincarnated.
Exactly.
Okay.
But it's like Abraham caused his father Terach to do teshuvah as an idol worshiper. How did he do that? By being Abraham and by living his life according to the spiritual laws. Terach used his eyes, used his wits, and made his own decision that my son was more right than I am. And he started to follow it. He became a student of Abraham. And that's part of the story of how they left. I forget the there was two cities that they went to before Abraham went to Israel. I think it was Haran that they went to first. And Terach passed away in Haran. But he had done teshuvah because he followed Abraham. When God told Abraham to go where I will show you, and they first went to Haran, Terach agreed to go with him. Now, there's other midrash that says he had no choice because he would have been killed by Nimrod. But you know, when everybody resurrects, we'll be able to ask them.
Mm-hmm. Hanak?
Yes, sir.
Was Terach's conversion, was he influenced by Nimrod placing Abraham in the oven and he came out unburned?
Yes.
Is that the point?
There are midrash that indicate that as well. But you have to remember that Abraham's brother was also placed in the same fire and didn't make it.
That was because of his lack of
certainty.
Yes.
He was a student of Abraham, but he wasn't on that same level of certainty. Will there be any more questions?
Well, not questions, but a comment. I remember after my father passed away, which was after our conversion, we only had boys brought in the family. Not my family, but, I mean, you know, not Tony and I, but my brother's children. There were like three boys that were born, and I think my father passed away in 1999. And the three boys, each one of them chose to name him Andrew, which was my dad's name, and the other two had Andrew as a middle name. Now, I don't think I knew anything about reincarnation at that time, but today, after being in the classes, it made me think Sparks of his soul were reborn within those children.
Very possible.
Okay.
Because the souls follow family lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically you have tikkunim with the people who are closest to you. And if you didn't achieve your tikkun with those people, you're going to reincarnate it into their family line so that the tikkuns can take place as rapidly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's always, you think in terms of your father, using male line, but your father was You have a tikkun with your father. He brought you into the world, so you need to balance it by bringing him into the world. So the grandchild becomes the incarnation of your father.
Okay. Well, it was my two brothers' children, not my grandchildren, but my two brothers.
I'm just using it as an example.
Yeah, I know. I know. Okay.
Verse 147. Ihu madi amaru hagrayayo haluka dirabanyan deit libi shashu dehahu alma zaka ahula kaifon titsadikayayo tikanis lon kuchabarihu Kamatavim Feidunin Lehahu Alma Alaihu Kitivain Loraata Elohim Zulatecha Yaselim Lim Hakalo. This garment, previously mentioned, has already been discussed by the friends. There is a robe of the sages that they wear in the world of truth. Happy are the righteous with their inheritance. As the Holy One, blessed be He, has put aside many blessings and delights for them in the world of truth. It has been written of them, neither has the eye seen, that an Elohim besides you should do such a thing for him that waits for him. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Hana, when you see the word garment, is that referring to the achievement of a certain level of consciousness?
No, the garment is your body. Your body relative to your soul is a garment. It's something you wear. It's something that conceals you. It's something that allows a spirit to be seen. If you didn't have a body, your soul would not be able to be seen in this world. And in every world, there are different physical laws and different spiritual garments, and different garments that spirits wear. We think of ourselves as our body, but it's not. It's a garment. We put it on and take it off. That's called reincarnation. We put it on, we take it off, we put on another one.
Okay. And the term robe of sages, is that referring to the garment also, or does that refer to a level of consciousness that they have achieved or attained?
That's unclear. It could be either one. My thinking is, in this pasuk, it's talking about the garment that sages wear, that tzaddikim wear, in what is being referred to as the world of truth, the world that is coming. Once someone becomes a sage, when someone becomes a tzaddik, the garment that they wear in the world that is coming is the light that they revealed when they did mitzvot. So that's my sense of it. But it could also be a level of consciousness that the sage has achieved, because we know that you have to do each of the mitzvot, all 613 mitzvot, in order to not have to reincarnate. And the classes of reincarnation, which we do Sunday afternoons now at the 3 o'clock class, which is 5 o'clock your time, I believe, or 4 o'clock your time. Well, those classes we go into.
I remember that last one that seemed like it. I remember them saying that it would said it wasn't just action of the mitzvot. It also applied to your thoughts and your speech.
Yes. Your action, your speech, and your thoughts, three levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a fourth level above your thoughts, which is your kavanah,
mm-hmm.
your intention.
So if you're studying the Olah offering, okay, what level would that be? How can we carry it through those three? Thought, action. Action would be actually studying the offering.
Well, because the offering cannot be done in the act world of action now with the temple not being there, when you study it, and you study the actions of the Olah, it's considered as if you have done the action. And the speech is when you study the words that are said by the Kohanim and the singing of the Levites.
No.
Those would be the words that relate to that mitzvah. And then the thoughts, by virtue of studying the Torah words, those are cleansing and elevating your thoughts.
Okay.
And the higher level of the Kavanah is what are you thinking about when you study that discussion of the Olah offering? Are you thoughts thinking about the animals that you're trying to save? Or are your thoughts thinking about this, that you're studying this in order to give pleasure to Hashem? Or are you studying this because you're killing time, God forbid? Are you studying, all of the reasons of why we do things in our life? That's the Kavanah, the intentions.
Okay.
And we spent that a few weeks ago on the advanced reincarnation classes. When we looked at
I think this last week.
No, I think it was the week before, but the last time before that. But I could be wrong.
Well, I think we had
come on and say, is this what we're talking about? Because I'm very confused as to what we are in each class.
I know. Me too.
I depend on you to keep my records.
Well, I try.
Ruby, did I answer your questions?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay. So tonight's class, we're lighting candles. Then if we have time, we'll do some verses of the Zohar from the Parasha of Miketz.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
And then tomorrow night, we'll go on to section 19 for the mini Zohar class. My mistake. I kept thinking we were a Thursday. It's Wednesday. So tonight's class is questions and answers for the 7 o'clock class. And at the tomorrow night's 7 o'clock class is the Zohar class. So,
but we aren't going to do the meditation for the candle lighting?
We're going to be doing the meditation for both tonight and tomorrow night. But if we have time, we will answer any questions tonight that people might have. And tomorrow night, we'll study the Zohar section.
Oh, okay. Okay,
so,
thank you.
everyone have a happy Freilich, enjoyable Hanukkah, and we'll speak. Hopefully, we'll speak to you later.
Okay. Thank you, Hannah. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye.